Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse, it's just 11:4, but we'll start in verse 2 or something. Luke chapter 11. At my current pace of going through Luke over the last 3 weeks, I am going to take an infinite amount of time because I haven't gotten past these verses yet. Luke chapter 4, they're doing something on the computer, which makes it unable for me to forward it. All right, Luke chapter 11, starting verse 2. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, this verse is so familiar to us because it's something we say all the time as Christians. We say the Lord's Prayer. It's a little different in Luke, but it's very similar. And so we come to a verse like, and forgive us our sins and Passover. Like, it's not the most incredible thing that we've ever read in our entire lives. When Jesus said this, Father, forgive us our sins, when he taught his disciples to pray, there was still a temple in Jerusalem. There was an entire Old Testament sacrificial system that had all of these things to do when you sinned. If you read the first 9 chapters of Leviticus, it details the sacrificial system. And so when you committed a sin, you're going to have to get a bull or a turtle dove if you're poor. You're going to have to go to the temple. You're going to offer a sacrifice and do all of these things in order to be right with God when you have sin. There's going to have to be these goats that, like, go off into the wilderness. I've never studied the goats in particular, but the goats are pretty cool. And all of these things are going to have to happen if you sin. We come to the New Testament, and boom, Jesus says, when you pray, just say, Father, forgive us our sins. I'm like, what happened to the temple? What happened to the goat and the bull and all of this stuff? How in the world do we just pray, Father, forgive us our sins and be right with God? We have been going through these last few weeks learning about prayer as Jesus teaches us to pray. We've seen more than anything else, prayer is about our relationship with God. It's what God teaches us to pray, our Father. So we come to God in a relational manner, and so we're not praying to genie. It's not like this where we take a lamp, rub it around, and be like, God, I wish that I was cured of this disease, and I wish I had $1 million, hot dog. But instead, prayer is relating to God in a relationship. And now we come to the line, forgive us our sins. And the main point of this sermon is going to be is that confession restores relationship. Confession restores relationship. So we've kind of had this model that I've put out there that I like to use for prayer, and that is the ACTS model: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And the second line, even though it's later in the Lord's Prayer, but it's up here in this prayer, in this version, they put confession up here because confession, I think, is the biggest difference between the general sort of boilerplate evangelical church that I see. The difference between how we look at confession, I'm including us in here, and most of the Christians that I read for the history of the church treat confession are wildly divergent, more divergent than in almost any other way. Because in the older liturgies some of the older and the church fathers, they spent a lot of time on confession and repentance. And in our churches today, not quite so much. This is something we try to bring forward. If you notice, pastoral prayer is always going to have a confession element. And I think if you can't come face to face with your sins like once a week, that's, you know, going to be problematic. And one thing we recommend, we really push in our small groups, is to have confession. Confession time, pray for confession, the DNA time, diagnose, nurture, and point each other to God. I kind of wonder, and click one forward. Okay, yeah. No, it's not working. Oh, there it is. Why is confession largely missing in evangelical churches? I think there's a couple reasons here. One is that it's not immediately encouraging. It doesn't, the most stereotypical example of this is if you listen to the average, like, Christian radio station, their tagline is going to be something like, upbeat, positive music, and it's all positive all the time, and you listen to the hosts, and they're so happy all the time. You wonder, like, man, this is the bad part of me. Okay, I'm going to confess right now. I always think, boy, I wonder what they would be like if their dog died. I know, it's a bad part of me. But I just like, can anybody be that chipper all the time? Maybe people think I'm that chipper all the time. I'm not, just ask my wife. Or my small group. Now, we don't just want to be the church where people come to get a sort of emotional pick-me-up every week. Where you come and be like, yeah, we're all like encouraged and triumphant. But we want to take God seriously in every way. And life has difficult things. And some of those difficult things are caused by us ourselves. And when those difficult things happen, we need to navigate them in a God-focused way. And instead of just a selfish or therapeutic way. There's a lot of church culture today that puts human ego at the center of what it means to be happy, what it means to be a Christian. And confession is a bitter pill. Like, it's hard to come face to face with all of the ways that you are not right. It's a lot easier to be like, you come to a place and they're just like, yeah, you're awesome, everything is awesome, you're doing great, like a Tony Robbins, like, you can believe it, if you dream it, there's one thing you gotta do. Like, we don't want to be that because our egocentricity hurts people. Just this week, and some people will know this example, but I won't use the names, is that we were at a church thing, and I made a joke. I made a joke, and it was a stupid joke. I don't know if the person's feelings were hurt, but like later that day, that evening, my conscience said to me, her name's Kari. Matt, you were really rude in what you said about in that joke that you made about that unnamed person's singing. After that, I just sat in bed, and I said, oh, you're so right, dear. Actually, no, I didn't say that. Not right away. My first thought was, who are you to be telling me this? I am the pastor. I am so right in all of my ways and pure. I'm like, that's what I'm saying, because we're naturally, we want to like defend ourselves and be like, oh no, it's just a joke, it was fine. And then as I sit there, I'm like feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, not only is this a problem, but like growing pride, egotism, like, and then I saw some other things. I'm like, really? You know, you're going after International Women's Day in a post. And you're like, look, you're looking at a pattern of behavior, and like that hurts. It's like, it is not a fun thing to wake up and realize, I am very wrong and I need to work very hard to make things right. And yet, yeah, it's not fun to admit sin. It's a lot easier to try to cover it up, and yet Jesus tells us to ask for forgiveness for our sins. Second question. Why do I need to confess my sins if they are forgiven in Christ? So, the doctrine of forgiveness of sins is one of the bedrock doctrines of the church. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. It's in the Apostles' Creed. That in Jesus Christ, we can go to Jesus and we can ask, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Like when we by faith come to Jesus, we are completely forgiven of our sins, present, past, and future. He has one sacrifice for our sins. So when we call on his name, Lord God, I believe in you. Our sins are forgiven. We are right with God, made new forever, and nothing will change that fact. It's absolutely true. And yet, Jesus teaches us to pray, forgive us our sins. Let me give you five reasons why. Why we confess our sins that are forgiven in Jesus. Number one, we confess our sins because Jesus teaches us to. It's very simple. Jesus teaches us to. The Lord's Prayer doesn't hit on a ton of subjects, but it does hit on forgiveness of sins. And we see this, that it's in the Bible, another place where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Second, we need to confess our sins because it restores our relationship with God. Now, if we just think of, so this is like a marriage. So I got married to my wife, and there is a piece of paper, like a little piece of paper, a legal document that says, she is mine, I am hers. And we are united together until death do us part. That is the relationship. And yet, because we have this piece of paper, doesn't mean that I can neglect our relationship on a day-to-day basis. I can't, like, be a jerk to her and expect her to still, like, enjoy me. But I said, well, dear, like, obviously, I love you. Like, there's a piece of paper. Like, it's a legal code that I love you. It's all done. Now, that's not going to work because I need day-to-day. When I am a little bit of a fool to my wife, I still need to do the work to keep that relationship strong. And in the same way, we are relating to God on a day-by-day basis, even though we are forgiven, legally made right with God in Jesus Christ when we come to faith. We need to do the work day by day to maintain that relationship, and we need to clear the air. And so we come to God and we confess our sins. Third, we must confess our sins because it is one of the main ways that God has given us to defeat sin in our life. God has given confession as a way of taking stock every day of how far we've fallen short. And so by confession, we can, by the Spirit's work in us day by day, put sin to death and be freed more and more from the tyranny of the world and the flesh and the devil as it makes war on our souls day by day. Fourth, we must confess our sins because confession of sins keeps us emotionally healthy. Keeps us emotionally healthy. Speaking aloud what we have done wrong to God breaks the tension. You know, we come to God in prayer, like God knows us. And sometimes we feel like we can kind of hide things from God when we pray. We're just sort of like, oh, Lord God, you're so great and awesome. And we're just sort of ignoring all the stuff that's going on in our lives. And be like, we just keep it focused on up here. God's going to be happy with us. But God isn't some far-off, vengeful deity that just requires our obedience in order to, you know, listen to us, but someone whom we're joined in an intimate relationship with, as he being our father, we being his children. And so when we come to him, he is disposed to love us. And yet when we speak, we can speak our sins to him so that we don't develop these unhealthy patterns of separating like our life from God. Like these things are together. We can admit to God everything we're doing because he already knows. And it keeps us, this is so touchy-feely. It keeps us in touch with our inner life. I was like this, my wife will make fun of me here. But she's like, it keeps us in touch with our inner life when we're able to freely confess our sins to God. 5, we must confess our sins because we truly sin. Okay, so we're not going to go with like the theology from, you know, the song Spirit in the Sky from like 1950s, going up to Spirit in the Sky. Okay, yeah, catchy song, awful theology. I'm not a sinner, I've never sinned. Like, what? Who are you and why is Jesus singing a 50s song? And that's the one person who has nothing to sin. DC Talk changed the lyrics slightly, which was made it better. So if you've only heard the DC Talk version, you know, yeah, you can keep it up. Well, the old version is cool too. Just bad theology. We must confess our sins because we really truly sin. And so if we are going to speak the truth to God, we are going to confess. We're not impressing God by telling him how great we are. They're like, look at how much I volunteered in church. Look at how cool of a sermon I'm preaching right now. Because God knows who you truly are and still loves you. Okay, what do we confess? What do we confess? What do you think? What do you think he answered? What do we confess? We confess our sins. We don't confess other people's sins. Sometimes we like to do that. Be like, oh, Lord God, how terrible of a sinner are those people? Our sins are all of the ways that we have either failed to do what God has required us to do, or, oh, man, I did a double negative. So we can disobey God by not loving our neighbor as we're called to, by not loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so we can fail to God by not doing things that we should have done, and we can sin by doing things that are against God's command. You know, if we go steal a loaf of bread, we're violating the commandment not to steal. And Jesus extends these things not just to stealing a loaf of bread or committing adultery, but to things that we commit in our heart, desiring things that aren't ours, desiring our neighbor's wife, and so we commit these things just in our heart. Jesus uses the word, forgive us our sins, which is important because it doesn't say forgive us our sin. He said, forgive us our sin. That would mean that it's just this general idea of, Lord God, we have sin and we're confessing it. He said, confess your sins, which means that they are going to be specific and things that you actually do. It's not just a general sense of sinfulness you are confessing, but actual sin that you commit against God or another. It can be a little scary to confess sin, especially if you really know who God is. Like, God is that holy, that in God's presence, sin is undone, destroyed, the holiness of God, and yet we need not fear confessing our sins because of God's great love. And he tells us in 1 John 8:9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Boy, that guy who wrote the Spirit in the Sky song, he really should have read this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, or to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we should fear if we're not confessing our sins. I do think that we often, you know, we shouldn't get tunnel vision confessing our sins. We generally think, you know, these are like the one or two sins I struggle with. And yet there's ultimately more. Examining oneself is kind of like peeling a 40-foot onion. I think Spurgeon said that. You never run out, but there's lots of tears. So, how do we confess? Five things. We confess with repentance. So repentance involves two things. One is the emotion of a broken heart over our sin. We're not just like, God, I'm sorry for this, sorry for this, sorry for this. But no, we actually should feel like we are really grieved about this because the Holy Spirit in us is grieved about sin. And so we should weep over our sinfulness. And second, repentance is a resolution to set out to live in conformity to God's will. Repentance restores relationship with God. Second, we confess specifically. We confess specifically. Now, I hate this. So who's here been pulled over by the police for speeding? Like, no, you don't have to put up your hand, but yeah, we're practicing confession already. So I've been pulled over by the police many times for going a little bit too fast. And what I don't like when they always ask you, they come up and be like, so how fast were you going? I'm like, well, I want to say one. It's like, isn't that your job? Like, you got the zappy gun? Or be like, oh, not as fast as I was going a little bit before you caught me. I don't recommend either of those things, by the way. God knows our sins. And if we're going to do all the things that confession is supposed to do in defeating sin, getting over it, we can confess our sins specifically to him. Because he's not the cop up there waiting to zap us and give us a big $400 fine, but he's the father looking to get back in right relationship with us. Confession restores relationship. Third, we confess to God and others. And I want to just talk about this for a sec. You could preach a whole sermon about this. All sin are committed against God. Every sin you commit, so you commit adultery and you've committed adultery against God and your wife. Now, we must confess to God, but we also confess our sins to people that we may have wronged by our actions. Matthew 5:23. This week I had to go and I do confess to somebody for, you know, making a stupid joke. This is a good thing about, like, when I talk about confession, I have a lot of experience with this. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember, your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Now, there are some wrongs that aren't against anybody specifically. In our one book, it had this example of this young man who had a very unhealthy attraction towards a young lady. And so then he went to that young lady and like confessed his unhealthy attraction. Now, that's not a good idea. Besides creeping her out like crazy, it Like, he has not sinned against her in action. Now, if he had done something, then he would have to. But since it's just in his mind, we always want to keep sin small. And so he has to confess to God. And if this is a pattern, so sins that just happen in your mind, you just confess them to God. Now, if it is a pattern of, like, arrogant behavior, you should confess that to God. You should also have somebody in your life you can talk to about this, confess to them, be like, you know, I see this pattern, and I want you to help me hold me accountable in this. That's how we build each other up as Christians. So, if we wrong any other person, confess to them. Fourth, we confess in a way that leads to reconciliation. When we sin, when you sin this week in your actions, what you did, that creates a break with God, just as much as if I was a jerk to my wife. And so when we come to God in prayer, we need to restore that relationship, and confessing allows for restoration. Confession restores relationship. And five, confess your sins, don't rehearse them. And this is kind of the flip side of the coin, that there are certain people who have one sort of big regret in their life, maybe, or one really big mistake they made, and they are kind of stuck on it. And so they aren't confessing their sin to God, because confession means I've confessed this to God, and I know in Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, it is forgiven and removed, and God has forgotten as far as the east from the west, and I can rest in that. If you're not resting in that, you're not confessing your sin, you're rehearsing it. You're like, God, I did this. And then a week later, God, I did this. And you're just stuck on this one thing. And now, as hard as that is, and I know, I mean, it's a grievous thing when people get in the rehearsing sins cycle. But what you need to dwell on is the fact that God is your Father and loves you. Confession, true confession. You said, I confess this. Now I am in right relationship with God. We need to believe that the cross truly was effective, that we truly have forgiveness, and the forgiveness is so real. Forgiveness is so real that God truly wants to be in right relationship with us. Confession of sin restores relationship. Okay, this is way too dark. Can you turn off the spotlight? Maybe you can see it. This is a picture that's up in my house. Turn off spotlight. That, those lights. No, not those lights. Those lights. Okay. All right. You can probably see it a little bit now. Now, this is a picture of the prodigal son coming back to the father. When we wander into sin, we are going off into ragged territory away from God. And yet, we know we can turn back. And anytime, if you're stuck in sin that you're just holding on to or rehearsing, when you turn to God, when you make that step, just like the prodigal son, God is so disposed to you in Jesus Christ, so loves you that he is ready to run to you, put the ring on your finger, put his best robes on you, and welcome you back into intimate relationship with you. And so do not be afraid to confess your sins, because confession restores relationship with God. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we look to you and look to you alone. Confession restores relationship. And I pray, Lord God, for the very burdened person here, who has been carrying around the burden for so long and does not feel like God can love them, does not feel like God can forgive them. I pray, Lord God, that the cross of Jesus Christ would be so close to their mind that they would see that truly there is forgiveness, even for grievous sins, because you are a loving Father and are just waiting to welcome you back into his arms, and so that the relationship would be restored. Help us to pray like this, Lord God, and be one with you. In Jesus' name, amen.